students who work for me, and when they're not actually, you know, actively involved in doing something, we're a help desk. Sometimes they're sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. I have no problem with them being an instant messenger. There was one lady who worked for me. She had a minimum of 8 windows open at once, following 8 separate conversations with friends around the country. It's like playing multiple chess games, you know? And she never had, she could talk to us while she was doing it, pick up the phone and talk to somebody, and then she, you know, okay, I'll be back in a couple of minutes to each one of them. It was phenomenal to watch her do that. And I always thought, I don't know that you can actually get paid for that talent, but it's pretty impressive.
Good in a bingo tournament.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take a break now? You decide. You're in charge.
Okay. She says we got to go. We got to go.
All right, but now that Steve is here, let's do this one more time. Are you ready to actually say your name? I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Hannah.
Very nice.
Hey.
All right, and we're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with all of us, all of you, some more news. Steve will have everything hooked up by then, and we'll be back shortly with more Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
News you need.
Mr. Bush claims our country remains in danger, despite the fact there hasn't been an attack on American soil since 9/11.
The talk you want.
I have to be the only one in America who knows what's going on. If so, good.
Thanks for making us number one. News Radio 1180 WHAM. Larry King here with an important question. Why should your vitamin C be ester C? Simple. Picture a big umbrella protecting your whole body during a sudden downpour. That's what Ester C does. It protects your whole body. Ester C supports your immune system, your heart, eyes, and joints. And it's gentle on your stomach. The metabolites in patented Ester C make it different than regular C. For whole body protection, take Ester C. E-S-T-E-R-C.
Look for Ester C at CVS, Rite Aid, Eckerd's, and everywhere vitamins are sold.
Hi, this is Pat Summitt, head coach of the Tennessee Lady Volunteers. A special thanks to all the sponsors who've made the 26th annual WHAM Sportswomen of the Year Awards Luncheon possible.
Camp Good Days and Special Times, Gatinga, USA, Valentine RV and Marine, U.S. Classics International Gymnastics Competition at Blue Cross Arena, May 14th through the 16th. Pat Summitt's appearance courtesy of Frontier, a Citizens Communications Company.
I'll see you on April 26th.
Hi, I'm Roland Williams, and I'm proud to team up with Clear Channel Radio to bring another exciting and successful week of events to Rochester. This year, we're bringing a host of NFL players, cheerleaders, and celebrities to this area to reach out and have a great time with the entire community.
If your business wants to be a part of the Roland Williams All-Star Week, featuring football and cheerleading camps, celebrity golf classic, family bowling party, and free health festival, Clear Channel Radio has sponsorship opportunities for you. They're available now. Call Ray Shea at 454-4884, extension 149.
They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are here. For those of you who are wondering where Rob Linton is, trust me, we upgraded.
Yeah.
All right, we're...
She's a lot cuter to look at than Rob.
And so far, she hasn't messed up the book. Oh, Rob's going to kill us. But we're back, and we're going to go to Steve now, who has some Apple news.
Well, there was some interesting reports about the Gateway store closing coming from the Apple community, that half the people are saying, look, see, you can't have a computer store anymore. And the other half of the people are saying, great, no more competition for Apple. So now Apple has a retail store. They're the only computer company now that does retail brick-and-mortar stores. Besides superstores that carry all the different brands. So they're the manufacturer having their own brick-and-mortar store. And the annoyance is from the traditional Apple dealer, which I am one, is that we've always had to compete against the other stores. We don't really mind that. That's sort of a given. But now we have to compete against the Apple online store, the other mail-order stores, the Apple brick-and-mortar stores. And it's frustrating as a small dealer to have to deal with all of this, that basically we're competing against Apple. We're selling Apple products, but we're competing against Apple.
Who's selling their own products. They probably get a better discount than
probably, you do. Yeah. I bet the manufacturer can give them a little better discount.
Exactly.
They claimed, at least in the beginning, that the Apple store was going to be just a store, and they'd have to go through distribution channels just like everyone else. But it always seems that they have the priority on shipping new products before the rest of us do.
You know what? That's been true since we first started selling Apple IIs in 76.
And probably Gateway, too.
Yep.
But the thing with Gateway is that you couldn't, you went into the Gateway store, looked at computers. You didn't actually buy the computer there. You called the you picked up the phone and called the 800 number you would have at home anyway.
Right.
And ordered
exactly.
Your computer over the phone.
Right.
The store, which is actually kind of neat for the store. They don't have to stock inventory. They just have a display model.
Right.
But then the stores don't make any money because they're not selling anything.
Right. And that explains why they're closing now.
Yeah.
Duh.
So it was interesting. So in response to all this problem that a lot of dealers are seeing with Apple and Apple giving themselves priority over their own computers, which makes sense from their standpoint, but not from ours as an independent dealer,
right.
There have been a lot of lawsuits, and especially out in California, where Mac dealers have claimed that Apple is forcing them out of business. And now three independent Apple dealers have launched a website to document and share information about what they consider Apple to be unethical or illegal, and basically saying that, you know, Apple is had these agreements with us as these independent dealers. Apple basically started the independent dealer channel.
Right.
30 years ago. In fact, this week was the 28th anniversary of Apple Computer.
Right.
On April Fool's Day. And so a lot of the dealers are upset about this. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens if Apple makes any response to any of the criticisms. The Apple Developer Conference is coming up in a couple of months, and that's where the Apple developers all get together. And even on that arena, there's been similar problems where an independent developer has written a really cool program, and an Apple comes out with something really similar, and the third-party program dies.
Right.
One of the most recent examples was the Watson program a guy wrote that Apple came out with Sherlock 3 for searching the Internet. It was almost exactly what Watson could do. And that's been...
So you're saying Microsoft's not the only one?
Not quite the only one. And then what Apple has been doing with a lot of the iApps, that we call them, iTunes used to be SoundJam, and now
right.
That guy's out of... We're hoping Apple actually hired them. When they
the SoundJam was a pretty hot product.
Yeah, and then iMovie basically killed Adobe Premiere.
Right.
And even at the high end now, Final Cut is killing Avid.
Right.
So when Apple's in a unique position to be able to do the hardware and the operating system and the software, it makes a really good tight integrated computer, and everything works well, and that's one of Apple's big advantages. The disadvantages is for the developer who's trying to compete with Apple against their own products.
Right.
And it's the one of the things that the Microsoft lawsuit is about, that Microsoft is making the operating system so tightly integrated with the web browser, is why would anyone be able to make another web browser?
Right.
Why? And that's a big problem in the consumer market. People don't know there's anything other than IE because it comes with their computer.
Right, exactly right. And the address of that, you want to tell them, tellonapple.org.
Tellonapple.org. We'll have it on our list. And it's by Elite Computers of Cupertino, Mac Adam Computers of San Francisco, and Mac Tech Systems of Bend, Oregon.
Sure.
That sounds like a town you don't want to go to.
Not often.
Yeah.
But we have a very special guest, on the line right now, and we'd love to talk to him. It's Rob Linden, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you know what? I leave for a day, I turn on the radio, just flipping through the dial, and sure enough, I'm getting mocked out.
No, dissed.
Oh, my bad.
You were getting dissed.
Yeah.
Rob, you should have heard what they said before you tuned in.
Yeah.
What did they say? I want to know this. I turn on the radio. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll get some good quality entertainment. And sure enough, boom, I'm getting insulted on the air. No
sure.
problem.
That's good quality entertainment.
There
we get picked on all the time.
She was
now,
being entertaining. We just said that we had Hannah instead of Rob. And from our point of view, it was an upgrade.
Yeah, I heard what you said.
There you go.
I heard exactly what you said. You said it was an upgrade.
You got it on tape.
Yeah, we got it on tape. She was a lot more prettier than I am, which is true, but, you know.
Well, duh.
That's not a slam. It's just a fact.
Hannah tells me that you let her put the camera on her today. So is it now
that was
Hannah,
her choice.
The Hannah cam?
Yeah, the Hannah cam. We'll have the Hannah cam up in just a few moments.
It's coming up now.
She last time she was on, she was shy.
Very shy. Yeah.
Shy and retiring, and now she's brazen and forthright because her...
must have been working with Rob.
She's been
well, anybody
with
who
Rob
knows
much.
Hannah knows that Hannah's not shy. So there's no reason why she can't go on the Hannah cam. Hannah needs to know, though, that that's the Rob cam. I'm just loaning it out for a day.
You're just loaning it out. We'll have you back with us next week.
You absolutely will.
Absolutely. All right.
You
try to
have
fun.
A good day.
Stay one step ahead of the law.
Did you get your mom's computer back up and running?
Hey, you know, I no, it's still broken.
Yeah. What'd you do to it?
I didn't do anything to it. I booted it up, and it still has viruses, and it's not letting us get rid of the viruses.
Stinger in safe mode.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, bring it back.
Reinfected it from something she had at home, probably.
Yeah, it got infected somehow.
Bring it back. Yeah, I'm going to have to start charging her for delivery.
That's between you and her, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
true. You bring your laundry, don't you?
Oh, stop. Who told you?
Your mother emails us.
I didn't say a word.
Yeah, no. I don't put the cat out of the bag on that one.
Even the week he's not here, we hit him harder the week he's not here than the week.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
It's because he usually can't respond.
What we have to remember is he'll remember this next week, and he controls the buttons.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I'll just happen to forget to turn on your microphone.
We're sitting going, huh?
Well, you gentlemen have a good Saturday.
Well,
you too.
And I'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay, thank heaven he's gone.
We skated through that one. Man.
We're going to go to the phones now, I think. Probably our best, to the real phones now, to the actual phone callers. And we're going to talk to Bruce from Rochester, New York. Bruce, welcome. We promise not to treat you like we treated Rob. Bruce, are you there? Maybe we will treat him like we treated
Bruce,
him.
Wake up!
Hello, Bruce. We have no Bruce. We have no Bruce. No, we Bruce, do have Bruce.
Hello.
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 Hello, Bruce.
This is Bruce.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I'm on Verizon. Yes, I can hear you now.
Excellent. All right. What's up?
I got a question for you guys, obviously. I had a friend's hard drive die.
Yeah, right. It's always a friend's hard drive.
Well, it was.
Yeah, but he was working on it at the time? No.
No. He had to actually bring it to me. And we put in a new drive, which had a higher ATA value than what was originally in it, and it came with a CD-ROM to with some utility to set the hard drive to sync with the same ATA controller in the computer, which I thought was pretty neat. But what I thought was really odd was I made a system floppy, and it was Windows 98, and I couldn't copy or do anything with any of the files that were in lowercase on the CD-ROM drive. I actually had to go, and people like this, to a Macintosh to copy the files that I needed, or the executable I needed, to the floppy, boot on the floppy, and then run the utility.
Now, that's weird, because there is no case on a file name. Case is insignificant on the names in DOS.
Yeah.
Well,
on Unix, it isn't.
Right.
Well, hang on. Was it Mac OS X that you tried it on?
No. Oh,
okay,
this is on a PC. 98.
Yeah, but Windows 98, you can type them in uppercase, lowercase, and it doesn't make a hill of beans.
That's how it's always been in the past for me also. That's why I'm asking you guys, because I had never seen this before, and even when I looked at it. It
must be the operator issue.
When I got the system up and running and everything, and I looked at it in Windows 98, there were lowercase text. Or the names of the file were in lowercase, that all I could do was see them with the DIR command. I could not copy them. I could not look at
the. Were you trying to copy them individually?
Well, I tried that, and I tried them with the wildcards. And it would only copy the files that were in uppercase. It would not do anything with the lowercase. All I could do was use the DIR command.
Yeah, and they told you to copy these files?
The instructions said you needed to run this utility.
Right.
Didn't say how you were going to do it.
Right. That's
and I couldn't
really
run it from the
weird.
CD. That was very weird. Yeah, that's why I'm calling you guys.
The only thing I could think of is that there would be some sort of... Now, on the Mac, you just drag and dropped, right?
Yeah, on the Mac, I could drag and drop.
What I'm wondering is if... But you didn't drag and drop on the PC. You were at the command line.
Because I was running it off of the floppy.
Off of the floppy. What I'm wondering is if there weren't some sort of hidden control characters in those file names.
Or the file names were too long. But even at DOS, it should truncate it to the short name.
But if you're trying to copy a whole
code, *.dll, it should go over.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you go *.*, right?
Right, that'll move everything.
If I do xcopy, say...
I did xcopy *.*. And,
to,
all this,
and then the folder that you want to copy it to...
And it only... Well, you did xcopy *.*, and it only copied the uppercase file names.
Correct. Well, actually, *.exe, but yes, it only copied the ones in uppercase. Same thing with the txt file.
How whacked is that?
Yes. I mentioned that to the vendor.
I've never seen it.
And they didn't answer. or have yet to answer.
Now, is this a standard Windows CD that you're trying to copy from, or is it, say, a third party?
The CD that was supplied with the hard drive from the vendor. It was stamped.
Right. It may be that there's some sort of copy protection on it.
Yeah.
Well, I never heard of something. Well, I could copy, like I said, on the Mac, and when I put it in a machine running Windows, it had no problems playing with it.
Right, right, right.
That's weird.
Yes, it was. Now, that's why I'm asking, because I've never seen something like this before.
Neither. I haven't either.
What driver were you using for the CD-ROM?
The one that it was a Pavilion provided to create a startup disk. And, in fact, I thought it was pretty weird because I had to look at the config in AutoDesk back to realize it was the M drive.
Yeah, right.
The one that we're
yeah,
using.
This way the Pavilion. So.
What I'd love to have you try, Bruce, is to copy just the files in Windows.
Okay.
And see if that works.
Okay.
Once you get Windows installed, yeah.
Once you get Windows installed and you still have the CD, drag and drop from Windows and then copy from the command line in Windows and see if that works. Because I'm just wondering if, A, it isn't a, there isn't, it can't be a driver issue if the driver is the same in both cases.
Right.
And it really shouldn't be a system issue because DOS is DOS is DOS.
Right.
But I'd love to have you do that and let us know.
Okay.
Because this is going to take a little experimentation, but I'm very interested in finding an answer to it.
Yeah, everything I'm finding on the net is just you dealing Windows files on a Unix computer, and Unix is lowercase by default unless you tell it otherwise.
Right. Yeah,
but
I mean,
Windows, the DOS doesn't have cases.
Hundreds of times, you know.
That's fascinating, Bruce. Let us know.
Okay.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Man, that's a little whacked.
Yeah, because normally we'll format a drive, you know, and then boot it up with the 98 disk. And just to do it faster, I usually copy the whole 98 subdirectory into a folder on the hard drive called 98 and then do the install from there.
Well, this sounded like you got like an ATA 133 drive and was trying to put it on a 100 bus, so you got to run the Mac Store or Western Digital, run their setup program and tell the drive to downspeed.
It wasn't Windows. It was that driver disk.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything like that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of moments with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the remarkable Hannah, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
And again, with Babe Ruth being sold by the Sox to the Yankees.
What a home run for Bambino.
The rivalry gained momentum with Bucky Dent.
Bucky Dent has just hit it.
When Boone hit the home run in last year's ALCS, the rivalry reached a fever pitch.
Gone a home run, the New York Yankees have won the pennant.
Now, it has exploded.
Welcome, Alex Rodriguez, to New York.
More games than ever before. Every weekend, when the Yankees play, they play on Wham!
Don't Oldsmobile deliver sound bites?
I am a popcorn enthusiast. Popcorn, the most provocative of all the snack foods. The silky smooth texture, the rich buttery ecstasy.
Ow! The unpop kernels!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Chase Pitkin will show you how to install the look of wood flooring at a fraction of the cost. With Armstrong Domain Laminate Flooring, unique angle and lock design makes installation a snap. Chase Pitkin is natural oak or butterscotch finish in stock now for just 99 cents a square foot with your Shopper's Club card. Armstrong Domain Laminate Flooring. Improve your home and save now at Chase Pitkin.
Listen to the Wham! Morning News for the Good Samaritan Vehicle, a service of Monroe Muffler Break-In Service and News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180, WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Where?
Somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are Sound Bites, and we're going to go back to the phones right now And it looks like we're going to talk to Andre from Clarence, New York. Welcome, Andre. What's your question?
Well, I've got a question, and I get a pop-up on my computer. Let me preface this with the fact that I'm very, very basic. I don't know a lot about computers, but I do enjoy listening to your program.
Thank you so
even
much.
Though sometimes it sounds like Chinese to me, because I just don't know that much about it. But
well, this is how you learn. You listen every week, and you get.
I try to listen time. Every week and get a few things out of it. I've gone to your website, and I've installed Stinger.
Great.
And I installed Adaware. I don't even know what Adaware does, because when I try to trip on it or click on it, it keeps saying reinstalling it. But that isn't what I called about.
Okay.
I called about, I get a pop-up when I'm on either AOL or when I'm on Yahoo. I have both services. It says that I've performed an illegal maneuver or an illegal whatever.
Yeah.
And then it'll have in the details, it says that I have a kernel 1 or a kernel 32DLL error.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried some different things to try and eliminate it and got a hold of HP, and they sent me a response on how to do it, but that I followed all the instructions, and that didn't eliminate it.
One thing I would suggest you do, Andrick,
mm-hmm.
is go to our website.
Yeah.
Try downloading Adaware again.
Yeah.
All right, now here's what you want to do. Is first, you first download it and save it to your hard drive.
Uh-huh.
When it asks you to download it, it gives you the option to either open it or save it. Save uh-huh. it to a particular folder.
Or on your desktop.
Yeah, or on your desktop.
I got it on the desktop.
All right. So then, now, after that's done downloading, if you scroll down a little bit more on the Adaware screen, there's the definition file.
Uh-huh.
Download that also and put that on your desktop.
Definition file?
Yeah. Now, what I'd like you to do is to reboot the machine, because you're running Windows 98, I take it?
Yeah, I'm running Windows 98.
All right. When your machine goes to restart, hit the F8 key or hold down the control key. You'll get a menu, and it says safe mode. Start it up in safe mode.
Safe mode?
Yeah, start it up in safe mode. From there, install both the Adaware and then do the update, the other file that's on your desktop for the update, and run Adaware from the safe mode. It sounds like you've got some spyware there that's trying to take over your machine.
Yeah.
And that's what's
now,
causing
the other
error.
Thing, Andre, is the file that you downloaded and double-clicked on that first time,
mm-hmm.
that's just the installer.
Yeah.
Once you've done that, you can throw those files away. Now, Adaware will be found in your regular menu from the start button.
Oh, okay.
It also
and
puts,
that's where you run it from every time.
Oh, I thought I ran it off the desktop.
No, it also puts an icon on
right,
the desktop.
Right, it does, yeah. But you have to remember which was the original one you double-clicked on, and then throw that one away, because every time you double-click on that, it'll try to reinstall it.
Yeah,
it's
I've done
the
it.
The other one, right, it's the other one that actually runs the program.
It's a red circle with a line through it and
right.
Number 6.
Right.
The other part of it is when I ran Stinger after I got that installed, it came up with this found a W32/KLEZ.
Klez.
That's
oh.
also why your browsers aren't working.
H-MM yeah, right. virus.
Here's the other thing now. What antivirus program are you running?
I got a McAfee, but
he
it isn't
had
the
McAfee.
Most update.
Well, see, first, the first thing is, as Dave says, you had McAfee.
Yeah.
Klez is one of those viruses that will disable McAfee.
Shuts it right on down.
So
without
you need
you
to
it.
Uninstall McAfee.
Uh-huh.
Then reinstall it, and then make sure it's updated.
And at least it's got to be a version 6 or 7. If you got an older version than that, then it's time to go out and purchase a newer version of
okay.
McAfee.
Or you can get the free one of the free ones like AVG, AVG from Grissoft, and that's listed on our website. AVG for antivirus Grissoft, I guess.
If you go to the Security Tango off of our page,
yeah.
Nick has listed that down lower on the screen.
Right, down across the bottom of the screen is a list of some, and AVG is a free one that's actually very good.
Okay.
So you need to uninstall, well, first download AVG.
Download it first?
Yes. Then uninstall McAfee.
How do I do that? Take it to
again,
the...
Again, from the start menu, programs, you'll have a McAfee
in safe
group,
mode.
And there'll be an uninstall McAfee thing. A button for uninstall, a menu Andrew. Choice.
Where is it again?
It should be, depending on what version you have, it's one of two places. It's either in the start button, programs, you should have a group called McAfee.
Or virus scan.
Or virus scan.
Yep.
Or there should be an uninstall in there.
Or he can just go into the control panel. There's a button there that says add remove programs. If you click on there, you can scroll down till you find McAfee. You can click on it once, and then there's a button below it that says add remove. And you just click that, and it will remove McAfee from your system. But do it in safe mode.
What is safe mode?
That's when you're starting the machine up. I told you, hit either F8 or hold the control key down. You're going to get this black screen with a menu option. The third option is safe mode. You're going to want to select that. Safe mode, what it basically is none of the other drivers get loaded, not even the advanced video or any of these other programs that are in your start menu. It just loads a very vanilla, plain-looking Windows. As a matter of fact, your screen is going to be weird colors. If you had a screensaver or you're running, say, 1024 by 768, it might only be 640 by 480.
So the icons will all be bigger. It looks a little weird, but it's designed specifically for this sort of stuff. And I'm sorry, Andre, but we kind of have to go.
All right. Can I email you in your service and ask that question?
Yeah.
Yeah, soundbites.org. Just give us, there's right on the front page, there's how to email us, and you can do that. And we'll be happy to talk you through at least a little bit of that process.
You can go to the Soundbites archives and read
right.
the answer.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Love your program.
Thank you so much, Andre. Our next caller is John from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've had an iBook for about 2 years. And recently, the hard drive started banging along, and it finally died. And luckily, I backed everything up to my Linux server. But I've repaired a lot of different desktop computers before. I've never gone in and actually replaced a hard drive in a laptop. And is this something which, I mean, I found instructions. Is this something which is a nightmare to try and go in if you're not experienced with notebooks or
Well, it's very tricky on any notebook unless they especially make the hard drive replaceable. And most of them don't.
Getting the case open is often the hardest part of the laptop.
Getting it open without breaking it is the hard part.
On the PC side, I got to admit, most of them are making the newer ones easy to get to because people want to swap out hard drives quite a bit. Or if I'm running a Unix versus Windows 98 or Windows.
You're going to have dozens of screws of different sizes and shapes that you're not going to remember where to put them back into.
The best thing to do is when you flip the thing over, map out the screws.
Right.
We use a little button tray, or you can use an egg carton. Every cell has got the screws from point.
On my machine, on my laptop here, for example, there's actually a door for the hard drive.
Yep.
Right, some laptops do that.
One and bang, it's gone, but an iBook, I take it, does not have that.
Right, and a lot of the other PC laptops don't either.
A number of them don't.
But it's a catch-22 that the companies don't want you mucking about inside the computer, because if you break it, you're going to want them to fix it, and then you're mad when they don't.
Right.
So by making it sealed, then they can control the repairs a little better. And that's one of the things that Apple does with its authorized dealer network, is that we have to go to classes and take tests to basically prove that we know how to take these machines apart and know how to fix them before they'll authorize anyone to crack the case, especially on a laptop.
Is this something pretty common with the iBook? I mean, I bought a PowerBook G4 just like a week ago to replace it, and I'm going to give my iBook to my father once I replace the drive. Is this something which is common with some of the iBooks or the hard drives going?
No, not really. It's just luck of the draw of what hard drive you happen to have in there and how hard you've worked it.
Right. Well, I've used it quite a bit, and I would hear it clicking from the start. And even on my PowerBook that it's got now, I do hear some. It sounds like the heads are clicking a little bit. I mean, that's something which is common. I've never heard it on a Windows laptop. But I had
it's the same hard drive. They're generic hard drives. It doesn't matter what computer it's in.
Okay.
You'll hear the drive spinning. You may hear the heads moving back and forth. But if you're hearing a repetitive clicking, then that would be an indication that the drive has got a problem.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
We have to take another break now. You're going to hear news at the top of the hour, and then, of course, we will be back. And who are we? Well, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benbright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are, of course, Soundbites. We'll be back with news and information. We're going to have, I believe, a special guest coming up after the hour. It's going to be very exciting. I have to say that I made a small mistake last week as to who our guest will be, but...
We got it straightened out.
The fellow that I thought was going to be on this week is actually going to be on April 17th, and we have an entirely different person, equally exciting, but an entirely different person for this week. And so we're going to go now to the news. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? We'll be back in just a couple minutes with more sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
The 4th Annual Ontario Shore Marathon is almost here. It's May 1st at Hamlin Beach State Park. You can test your endurance in the full 26.2-mile marathon or a half marathon at 13.1. There'll also be group relays, or you can just stop by and see Wham's Brad Davies. You'll be there cheering everyone on. To register, call the Arthritis Foundation at 264-1480 or register online at OntarioShoreMarathon.com. The Ontario Shore Marathon to benefit the Arthritis Foundation. Sponsored by News Radio 1180 WHAS and Chili's.
Get a fresh grip on just about everything and Hess Express.
You know, I could go for a good cup of coffee.
Me too. Let's go to Hess Express. There's nothing like a fresh brewed cup of coffee.
I know, Brenda. Hess Express brews their mountaintop coffee fresh every 20 minutes.
But I don't want to pay some fancy price like some of those gourmet coffee places charge.
Earth to Brenda, Hess Express always has great prices on a great cup of coffee.
And choices. I love coffee choices. Rich, creamy hazelnut, smooth French vanilla, robust French roast.
Hess Express has a gazillion choices. You'll love them all.
What I don't love is standing in a long line.
You're in and out just like that at Hess Express. It's like you're in the express lane.
Express lane? Hey, I know. Let's go to Hess Express.
Now, why didn't I think of that?
The Mountaintop Coffee Shop at Hess Express. All your favorites and a whole lot more, like our coffee club. Buy four coffees and get the next one free.
At Hess Express.
Soundbites, powered by Patrick GMC.
Your chance to win.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are Soundbites. Now, before we get back to the phones, we have a very special guest on the line. Last week, I said it was going to be Chris Tresco, but he'll be on April 17th. Today, I'm excited to say that we have an equally fascinating guy on the line. It's J. Scott Forbes. Who is, Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You prefer Scott?
Sure.
Okay. I prefer Overlord of the Universe, but I'll settle for Nick. And I understand you teach at Nazareth College, my alma mater.
Yes, I'm an adjunct in information technology.
How cool is that? And you, you're going to talk to us a little bit today about the dark side of the Internet.
Yes, I have my students write a paper called The Dark Side of the Internet. I have them look at computer crime, such as eBay fraud, spam, viruses, cyber stalking, cyber terrorism, ID theft, chain letters, hoaxes.
Yep. All right, let's talk, let's take those in order. Let's start with eBay fraud. Now, it's really a minimal amount in terms of percentages, but it's still a huge amount in terms of dollars, right?
Right. You'll see on eBay advertised that they have 99.9% good transactions on eBay. That sounds like a very good number. 0.1% of transactions go bad. But when you realize that eBay sells 20 million items per week, 0.1% of 20 million is a substantial number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting. They've done a lot to keep themselves clean. In other words, they have the rating system, and you know, they try to verify that you are who you are with a credit card. But there are always ways around it, particularly if you're a one-off.
Right. They typically like to target what you call newbies, which are the new people onto eBay that really aren't experienced, that don't know the ropes yet.
Right.
And one thing I've always been annoyed by is the overhype the computer world gets. The same problem happens in the swap sheets and yep. classified ads in the newspaper, but you don't hear about that. It's the computer is the evil thing.
Right, right, right. But and that really is just a new way of doing the same old stuff.
Right.
You know, you order whether you buy something online that's coming from Belarusia, or you do it out of the newspaper, you send them your money, you don't get your thing, it's mm-hmm. really the same deal.
Yeah. Right. It's just that the computer offers one extra layer of anonymity.
Right.
And that it's hard to track folks down when you don't have their real name or phone number.
Right, exactly. And even though eBay attempts to do that, it's pretty easy, if you really want to do it, it's certainly possible to fool them.
Right.
Yeah. Folks, we're not saying that eBay is bad.
Right.
As Scott says, 99.9% of their transactions are both honest and completed.
It's a, you know, buyer beware. If someone is selling mm-hmm. a $3,000 computer for $100, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah, if the deal is too good to be true, it probably is.
Now, I'm fascinated by the things you can find on eBay. There was a guy who was selling his soul.
Yeah.
Liver.
Yeah. There was a company who was selling, there was a place who was selling their town.
They were selling their husband.
Yeah.
They were selling their family at one time.
Yeah, yep. they wanted to be serfs, and all of my inventions would go to my king, because that's how we used to do it.
Right, right. There was a guy who was selling naming rights to his baby.
I got a kick out of the cyclotron. A university was getting rid of their old cyclotron, and then they put it on eBay. I think they wanted $2 or $3 million for it, which is a pretty good deal for a cyclotron.
It really is.
But they made a big thing about it weighs 100 tons and comes in 40 trucks. So beware of that when you buy this thing.
Right. One of the major issues we're seeing is that people are sending fake money orders that they printed on their color printer, and it takes up to 2 to 3 weeks for the money order to bounce back from your bank.
A couple of kids in Greece school district last week got mm-hmm. caught doing the same thing at the cafeteria.
So Scott, what you're saying is, although when we think of eBay fraud, we think of somebody selling something that doesn't exist and walking away with the money, you're saying it happens from the other end, too. People buy stuff with fake money orders,
correct,
and it's the seller who gets stuck.
Right, and one of the big scams now is they'll buy a large ticket item, and they'll ask you to mail it to their friend, and they'll send you extra money. So they'll buy a computer for $1,000. They'll send you an extra $100. Say, please mail this to my friend. Here's an extra $100, but please send the $100 to my friend. So they give you a check for $1,100. They want you to mail their friend $100. Well, then, by the time their check for $1,100 bounces,
you're out the computer. $100.
You're out the $100 shipping.
Nice.
And eBay has mm-hmm. taken steps to try to prevent this by having escrow services, and there's third party escrow services
yeah, right.
as well.
There's one here in Rochester.
Right.
Right. One of the things we're seeing, though, is people are stealing the eBay accounts as well, and that they're spoofing the eBay addresses, asking people to put in their passwords for eBay. They're stealing their account, and then they're accessing their eBay and PayPal accounts.
Yeah. Right. We say this over and over, and it bears repeating. No legitimate company will send you an email asking for your password, ever. Not eBay, not Microsoft, not McAfee, nobody. And if you get one of these, just throw it away.
There was a really confusing problem issue with eBay a couple of weeks ago that kind of muddies the waters a little bit. A lot of people, when they signed up for eBay, used their email address as their eBay account name because it makes it easier to log into the system. Well, the spy programs would use that to get addresses to send spyware. So a couple of weeks ago, eBay sent out an email message to all their users saying, please change your ID number. But it's the same sort of scam that same sort of letter that scammers have sent out. Please change your address, and here's the site to go to, and so I can steal your address. But this was eBay themselves trying to get everyone to change their ID so it wasn't an email address.
Right.
And there was a lot of things in there that this is really us. Here's our big phone number. Call us if you have any questions. Now, this is real. You need to change it. And we are eBay.
Right. And then, of course, when you do click on the link and go to the site, take a look at the URL. If it doesn't say eBay.com, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
Yeah, you could be somewhere else and don't.
That's
don't
fascinating
really
stuff. And going right along with that now, let's talk a little bit about spam.
We also talk about spam. As we know, spam is a major problem. AOL reported 500 billion spam messages in 2003.
That's with a B.
500 billion messages in 2003, and that's just AOL, with the tops being Viagra, pharmacies, home mortgages, and so forth.
Wow.
Becca, the study came out last week that the new anti-spam bill that was passed a few months ago isn't working.
Well, duh.
Yeah, I think we predicted that.
But there are a couple of things about spam. First, spam is incredibly effective. It costs nothing to send it, so if five people answer you, you win. But the effect, the dollar effect on not just individuals, but particularly on businesses, I mean, think about it. You get maybe 20 email spam messages a day. Multiply by that by 100,000 people in a company.
Well, one of the students found some research that said that a average employee's productivity is hurt $846 a year by having to read through spam.
Right, right.
So
$846
$846 per employee per year to filter their spam and to throw it away.
Right, multiply that by 50,000 employees and we're talking about actual cash.
We're talking billions of dollars nationwide.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not to mention the bandwidth and the server space and all the other related items.
Yeah. One of the things that we're instituting, we're talking about instituting at RIT is, in the College of Business, is having everybody sign their messages digitally. And then we have a ring of public encryption keys and private encryption keys. I'm not saying encrypt everything, but sign it.
Yeah.
And that way, if something comes up and says, no, we just toss it. Now, the problem with that is, of course, that makes it tough because we can't just toss it because so many of our people talk to students and people overseas and blah, 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 who don't sign things. But at least we'll know whether or not it's legitimate, and that'll help at least in some ways. But it's a very hard problem. How do you get, even if we had a foolproof method of doing email, how do you get everybody to change over at once?
Everyone in the world, that is.
Right. I mean, you know, it's like do this thought experiment for yourself. You go to flip on a light switch, you get light. What if you had to flip on the switch at the exact same time as a million other people, or else nobody got light?
We had a hard enough time changing our area code.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, and the effect on business is huge. And it's not just the spam that's a problem for businesses. Viruses are, too.
Yeah.
Right. There's 65,000-plus known viruses. Just the love bug virus alone did an estimated $10 billion damage to the U.S. economy.
Again, with a B.
With a B. All viruses together, they estimated at $55 billion in 2003 damage to the U.S. economy.
Yeah, Klaus took down the network for a couple of days there and was virtually wreaking havoc. It was voted number one virus of last year.
Yep. And people are constantly saying to me, you know what, the Internet's real slow. Is there something wrong with my computer? No, the Internet is 99% spam and viruses now being shot around all over the place. And that slows it down. Get over it.
But you talk here, though, your students get into the cyber stalking?
Yes, we also look at cyber stalking and cyber terrorism. Cyber stalking is general harassment on the Internet. And some studies have found that 1 out of 16 females and 1 out of 45 males have had harassment of some form on the Internet.
Now, are these in chat rooms or just...
Yeah, chat rooms, emails, things such as that.
That the kids are in there and they try to jump in and take over and...
Right, and it can be, you know, a small amount of harassment, or it can be up where they actually find your real identity, and then they actually cause physical harm as well.
Just some folks are putting all their information in some of these instant messengers, even down to their address, which for young folks I don't recommend doing anything.
And there have been a lot of things about kids inadvertently giving information. Yeah, I went to the school football game last night. The Wildcats won. Well, all right. That just cut down where you are significantly.
Right. I actually have a friend of mine in the New York State Police, and he's a cyber cop over in Canandaigua, and he oftentimes pretends to be a 13-year-old cheerleader on the internet.
Yes.
And he said his screen just scrolls with people wanting to chat with him.
I did a class one time for the police department, and I was showing them how to get into chizzes years ago, showing them how to get into chat rooms. And I just went in as, I made up a name, Fred27 or something like that. And they were all joking about, well, where are all these, people, the hot chicks and the blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, watch. I logged off, went back into the exact same chat room with some stud 52 or so. I don't remember exactly what the name was. It wasn't 10 seconds when all of a sudden, I went in as
female.
A girl. I picked a female name. It wasn't 10 seconds when like 60 guys were hitting on me. And I said, this is the way it works.
So remember, that hot chick you're hitting on in the chat room is probably a guy.
It might be me, apparently.
Or it could be my state trooper friend pretending
exactly.
to be a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
go ahead, Scott.
Even more than a cyber stalking, there's a lot of concern on cyber terrorism. We've all felt the effect of post 9/11 with our security at the airport and so forth. But the internet is they're very, very concerned. One day of the internet being down could be almost $7 billion in lost productivity. We all remember last year when we had the Northeast power outage during the golf tournament that people were lost at work. They didn't know what to do. They were going home. They had no computer. One day of the internet being down, $6, 7, 8 billion, and there is a lot of concern that terrorists will try to take the internet down, either with a denial of service, with viruses, and so forth.
Yeah, and they don't even have to take it completely down. Like I said, with the fact that it's slowing down the way it is, every once in a while you'll get a mismatch between, like, you send out your credit card number and you don't get a verification back.
And what's interesting is the internet was originally intentionally designed to survive a nuclear war. By being so decentralized, you could take out a big hunk of computers here, and the other ones would all pick up for it.
Right, but the people in that area don't get any work done.
Yeah.
And that's the problem we're having.
Well, they're not so concerned that the physical links will be down. Right. They're concerned that a virus will propagate through and take out the majority of the network. The actual communications will be up, but there will be a virus running through the network.
Right. Listen, Scott, this has been incredibly fascinating, but I'm afraid that we do have to take a break now. I really want to thank you for joining us.
Taking the time out. Thank you.
Scott Forbes, who's an adjunct professor at Nazareth College, the great Nazareth College of Rochester. I want to thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the incredible Hannah, and your calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Listen all day today to News Radio 1180 WHAM for your chance to win your prize of $100,000. Just be the 100th nationwide caller to 1-866-525-9467. That's 1-866-525-WINS when we tell you to, and you win.
Oh, my God!
It's just that easy.
Oh,
win your prize of $100,000.
I just won
driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet and News Radio 1180 WHAM.
The Heart of Gold Children's Foundation is a nonprofit organization. Since its conception in 1980, the foundation has given assistance to several thousand children and their families in the Rochester, Monroe County community. The foundation's primary goal is to help, on a one-time basis only, children and their families who are not able to get assistance for a specific need from any other community service agency. To apply for assistance, send written requests to the Heart of Gold Children's Foundation, 207 Midtown Plaza, Rochester, New York, 14604.
Stone, Lincoln, Mercury delivers sound bites. Your chance to win your prize of $100,000 is coming. Driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet and News Radio 1180 WHAM.
It's America's Money Show. Money Talk with Bob Brinker. Saturdays and Sundays at 4 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. 50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
That's absolutely true, but it's not only Nick Francesco. It's also
Dave Enright,
Steve Ray,
and Hannah.
Absolutely. And we're back to the phones. We're going to talk to Tom from Fillmore, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hey, I've got a computer with Windows 2000 on it, and long ago, per your advice, I put in the security tangle, and all is well. But unfortunately, I sprouted some beer muscles and attempted to change the SpyBot settings to run automatically on a schedule. And now SpyBot does not run automatically. And when I attempt to start SpyBot, the taskbar button appears, along with that legal stuff warning window. You click OK, that goes away. And the main window seems to briefly come up on the screen, but rapidly fades into the desktop.
Yeah, I actually ran into this week. SpyBot has two different modes. Easy mode, where it just runs, and advanced mode, where you control the settings. You can inadvertently set it to never see advanced mode again. So when you want to change your settings, you can't.
You got to uninstall, reinstall.
Actually, they have a file on their website that will reset all your settings for you.
Okay.
And I'll see if I can find the link again, and we'll post it.
Steve, we'll find the link and post it on our website so that you can fix this, so you can once again run it.
I
love the way you put it. I got beer muscles in.
Yeah. Uninstalling it doesn't necessarily work because it may leave the INI file.
Residue,
right.
Yeah.
Which I have tried it. I've tried to uninstall and reinstall on the same problem.
Right, because it left the INI file. So Steve will find the fix for that. Put it on our website, and you'll have it.
Appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
We'll see you.
Thanks. Our next caller is Tony from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thanks. Hey, I've got a laptop running Windows XP. Some time ago, I wanted to loan it to a friend, so I set up a guest account. And then all of a sudden, weird things started happening, like things looked like the resolution was weird, almost like it was printed on burlap, you know? And then everything started growing in size. I got, you know, an A about 3 inches tall in the middle of the screen. So what I ended up doing was I deleted that guest account, and it kind of was okay, except that a lot of my fonts are still, particularly when I go on the Internet, things are like, oh, I'm going to say 30%, anywhere from 15 to 30% larger. And, you know, I went back to my control panel settings, and they're all fine and all that. And I'm just wondering if it's some kind of, you know, defect with Windows XP that causes that, or
what
did this happen? Well, wait, hold on. Did this happen before you actually got it loaned to your friend, or was it that way when it came?
I never ended up loaning it to him, by the way. So he called me, says, "No, I don't need it." So I said, "Good," because it's not working too well. So, and I've been really good about, you know, I do a virus scan almost every day. My updates, I'm running Norton Internet Security 2003, and I don't think it was that. I really don't.
When you set up this guest account, what kind of rights did you give it?
Pretty much global. Nobody used it. That's the thing.
What resolution, when you right-click on, you know, go in the control panel, and you set under your display settings, what resolution are you using?
Let me click on it here. I got it. I'm at 1024 by 768.
How many colors?
Highest 32-bit, it says.
Is there 16 million?
Or 16-bit?
16-bit?
Probably. Yeah, medium 16-bit.
Try switching down to 16-bit. What might have happened, if things are looking weird in that, maybe the video driver or that particular font got corrupted.
Right. Particularly if you used a high allowance setting the guest account to be able to do a lot of things, you may have inadvertently screwed up some sort of system setting Even though you were in the guest account, you may have messed up. Windows is pretty decent about keeping users separated from each other. Pretty decent. But
that's the key.
But there's a lot of global stuff you can still do. And you may have done that. So it may be that you corrupted that font. It may be that you changed the system font to a different font.
No, I just did that, and I hit apply, you know, when I said apply without restarting and all that. Still the same. No, on some things, like, for example, when I go...
What does it say? What is the message? You get an error message?
I had one a long time ago. God, just I tried to call you guys a couple months ago, and I never got through, but I've forgotten what the error message was. It said that there was something that it was going to try to fix it automatically, and I said, yeah, okay, do it. You know, something was compromised, maybe. I wish I would have saved that, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, in general, folks, when you get an error message, please write it down. We can't pinpoint a diagnosis without an error message most of the time. But I would suggest that you reinstall your video driver.
Okay.
That's as the administrator, I would start with that. And then I would check to see if, maybe reinstall your system fonts.
I was just saying, or worst case scenario is put your Windows XP CD in and reinstall XP over XP. And on Dave's tips, I've got there, it'll be one of the earlier ones, explaining step by step on how to reinstall Windows over Windows.
That means I have to reinstall all my other programs. Over.
No. Everything.
Oh, no.
Nope. If you catch it, there's two ways to reinstall Windows. One makes you do all your programs again, and one doesn't. You have to read the messages really, really, really closely.
And
here's
Dave's
the key
tip: will give you a clue on how to do it.
But very basically, you'll skip the first one where it says restore. You skip that, and you say you go to the install. The second time you see on the screen after the agreement is the restore. That's when you say restore, and it'll put Windows over Windows and save all your settings.
So skip restore, go to install, and then the second time I'll see restore.
That's when you want to do it, and it'll reinstall Windows XP over Windows XP.
Oh, gosh, I think that's probably going to help.
There you go. Give it a try and let us know.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank
great
you so show.
Much.
Thank really you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our next caller is Linda, calling all the way from Canada. Where in Canada, Linda?
Castleton, Ontario.
Pardon?
Castleton, Ontario.
Where is that near?
Not too far from Cobourg. Population about 200 if you count the dogs.
Oh, that's great.
Are there a lot of dogs?
Apparently.
Fair number, yes.
So what can we do for you up in Castleton?
Well, I'm working a little bit blind here because the problem I'm calling you about is with my sister's computer, which is elsewhere.
Ah.
Okay, she's running a Mac G3.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, it seems to have put itself to sleep and won't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is complicated by the fact that, you know, what we'd suggested is just stick in a startup disk and boot it from that. But she had a CD in it, which is not a boot disk. And I don't know how on the newer Macs on System 10, my Mac, I just have the pinhole and I just stick a paper clip in and I can pop out a CD that's in there. But you can't do that on the new ones.
We want
to know how to get the CD out.
Hold the mouse button down. And that's
while you boot.
Yeah, that's how you've ejected a disk since the Mac was born.
Ah, and that will work on the new ones too.
Yep, work on any Mac.
Okay.
But when you say it went to sleep and won't wake up, what happens if you just reboot?
Everything comes up except the monitor won't light up. I mean, the monitor, the on button will come on, but then it just goes black again. And she spent about an hour the other day talking with someone, and this was the conclusion they came to, that it was not a monitor problem. That it seemed as if the computer was staying asleep.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. If you reboot the machine, it will not be asleep. It sounds like you have a problem booting the computer. It's not asleep.
Okay, because everything appears from the sounds and so on. I mean, everything appears to be coming up.
Yeah, so the computer sounds like it's working.
Right.
Then it's not asleep. And I would suggest the monitor. It could be something in the monitor cable. Could be the connector is loose on the video card. Could be the cable got bent or one of the pins are bent.
Right. I know she's plugged and unplugged all of her connections and checked everything.
Does she have another monitor to try it with?
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing.
Can you borrow one from the dogs?
Well, she's in Toronto, so.
Oh, there you go. Oh, a lot of dogs in Toronto.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, she does have a call into, because it's obviously it's a hardware problem as opposed to a software problem.
Yeah, that's like really it. What it sounds like.
So she does have a call into somebody to come and have a look at it. But when I heard when I heard your show today, I thought this was a good opportunity to call and see.
Well, is this your first time listening?
Yes, it is. My dad listens quite regularly, apparently.
Cool. Well, that's great. Well, we hope that you'll get everybody who's not the dog. We'll talk to the dogs, too, up in Castleton to talk. I have a friend who lived in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, every time we ask him where he lives, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, with incredible pride in all mm-hmm. three words, not, you know, Calgary. Where's that?
Right.
Oh, it's in Alberta. Where's that? In Canada.
Where's
Alberta,
that?
Canada. Three words.
Well, I just get to Castleton, Ontario. I don't usually. I figure if you know Ontario, you know it's Canada.
Right.
We have trouble down here near Rochester because we've got Ontario County and the town of Ontario.
Ah.
Also,
right.
And then Lake Ontario is where everything got named from. So.
Right.
So when you say Ontario here, you don't know.
Yeah, right. It's all after us.
Yep.
All right, Linda, try that. Let us know. Let us know what happens with that. We unfortunately have to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the Incredible Hannah, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
1 year ago,
I'm scared.
The war in Iraq began.
But this is what I signed up for.
WHAM remembers the men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice in Iraq.
So we're going to go do our job.
To endure freedom.
The blood.
I miss home a lot.
The sweat, the tears.
I can't wait to get back.
All for a greater cause. We thank you.
We love you very much. We're so proud of all of you.
We thank you.
You are our hero, and we love you very, very much.
1180 WHAM.
Dad, I miss you, and I hope you're safe.
Get a first spin on just about everything. And happy spread.
When it comes to the best deals on all your favorite beverages, all roads lead to Hess Express. I guess you could say Hess Express is Beverage Central. You got that right, and right now at Hess Express, you can get two Coke 12-packs for only $5.
Two Coke 12-packs, only $5? You can't beat that price.
Yeah, but is there a limit on how many you can buy? No limit. Come into Hess Express and get as many Coke 12-packs as you want, and it's still 2 for $5.
But what about bottled water? What's the deal on that?
You want a deal? How about this? Get 2 6-packs of Poland Spring for $3. 2 6-packs of Poland Spring for only $3. You won't find a price like that, even in Maine. Right. When it comes to the best prices on all your favorite beverages, Hess Express is always the real deal. Through April 29th.
At Hess Express.
At CA, we're the management software experts, but we don't just manage servers and databases. Our software helps manage ATMs, PDAs, VIPs, and URLs. Payrolls, road tolls, phone calls, church halls, medical records, financial records, academic records, and probably also some record stores. Imports, exports, ports, sports, and even a few forts. To find out more about CA's commitment to improving everyday life, every day, go to ca.com/radio.
Welcome to the Dental Forum, featuring information about dental care, techniques, and technology from the area's leading dental professionals. Here's Dr. Glenn Spinelli of Spinelli Dental.
One great impact I see on people who have cosmetic dentistry is the restored confidence they have in themselves, and this results in improved relationships, improved careers. As a dentist, we're very privileged to play a role in that. Any adult can benefit who's unhappy with their smile. When you have a beautiful smile, you tend to relax. Your face changes a bit. If someone wants to frame that beautiful smile with full, beautiful lips or get rid of wrinkles, we have a team member now who's a plastic surgeon. We can do several things. We have temporary material we can place on the teeth, mocks up their smile. We can also take a digital picture, put it on a computer, and have a simulation of the end result. Everybody wants to look younger, wants to hang on to that youth. We're there to help them do it.
For more information from Dr. Spinelli and Spinelli Dental, please call 458-5700. Visit the offices at 2005 Lyle Avenue or visit rochesterdentist.com.
It is the policy of Clear Channel to provide equal employment opportunity to all qualified individuals without regard to their race, color, religion, national origin, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, or any other characteristic provided by law in all personnel actions. If your organization distributes information about employment opportunities to job seekers, please contact Kim Klein at Clear Channel Rochester by calling 585-454-4884. Write to her at 207 Midtown Plaza, Rochester, New York, 14604. Or log on to our website at clearchannelrochester.com for more details.
Hey, it's Glenn Beck. Join me Monday morning from 9 till 11 on Rochester's number one radio station, News Radio 1180 WHAM.
This is Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Well, welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're back. We're going to get back to the phones in just a minute, but a little bit about what goes on our website. Every week we run a poll. Last week's poll was about Windows versus Lindows. Microsoft sued a company named Lindows, who sells a Mac, a Linux operating system, an
nice
autonomous Linux operating system. And they sued them because they said that people would get confused. And we said last week that that's fair because, you know, you have to sue in order to protect your trademark. Whether or not you think people would really be confused
is not
the point. You have to. So, but our question was: have you ever been confused? 350 of you voted. Thanks for each and every one of you. Number 32 on the all-time hit list. Shockingly, 93% of you said no. How stupid do you think I am? And 7% of you, that is 23 votes, said yes. It's so very easy to do. This week's question is about online gambling. I want to thank Bob for sending me that suggestion. And have you ever gambled online? Simple choices here. Yes and no are the two choices.
Just so getting on the internet to gamble.
Every time you go online.
Somebody said that in the opinions. Somebody said that. So far, you know, they say it's getting to be the biggest business on the internet. Makes more money than porn now.
Yeah.
The problem is apparently not here in Rochester because only 2% of you, that is three votes out of 139, only three of you have actually gambled online.
Well, some of the others, might not be able to afford it because they're going to OTB or both Buffalo and...
Right, everybody's got it now.
Yeah.
Everybody's got it. Yeah. Once you've given your vote, please stop over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And give us your opinion. We've already got, 18 opinions online so far. And, in fact, one person said that it's a gamble getting on every time you go online. That's number three. That's the third one on that list.
You've got to be really good at spelling when you go online.
Yes.
You can go to some strange places by misspelling a word.
Yes, exactly, or by putting .com instead of .org or .gov or .whatever it happens to be. At any rate, that's just some of the stuff that goes on our website. We've also got some great people in our forums. We've got all kinds of nifty stuff. Check it out. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Jim from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Thanks for a great show.
Thanks.
I've got AOL 8.0.
Good for you.
Internet Explorer 6.0, and XP Home version.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always delete my cookies every time I go online, and it was never an issue, but lately I've tried to delete all the websites I've been to, and I'm unable to do it using the Internet Explorer. My friend has a website I simply can't get to. I think something happened one day when I tried to get to it, and there's a bad link or threat somewhere. Now, I downloaded Netscape, and I can get to his website instantly. But
okay. So you're saying when you try to go to his website, you end up somewhere else?
Oh, no, I just can't get there. It's a blank screen. It says I'm there, but all I get is a blank screen.
Cache files.
Did you do the update for IE?
I update constantly.
Yeah, you may have to manually empty.
IE has a separate update, though, but go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, you may have to manually empty your cache files and temporary internet files.
I can't do that.
What happens when you try?
Nothing.
You drag it. You drag it to the recycle bin, and the files don't move?
No, I didn't try it that way.
You went in and tried to do it from inside Internet Explorer.
Correct.
And
right.
And did you get an error message? Nothing? Nothing?
No error messages.
Yeah, sometimes that doesn't work, and you have to manually drag the files to the recycle bin.
Be prepared to take to spend a little time at this, because there are often tens of thousands of tiny files in there.
Once it takes forever to show
them all.
Once you get them all deleted, well, actually, you could just delete the entire temporary internet files folder and not even bother going into it.
You have to stop Internet Explorer, though.
To do that, right. Once you get them all manually deleted, you could go into the Internet settings and set your history to zero and set it to not accept cookies. And then it won't bother accepting any that you then need to delete later.
But it'll constantly ask you, do you want to get cookies?
Not necessarily the cookies. The cookies I can delete. It's just the websites I visited, I can't delete those.
Yeah, that's your history settings. You can set the history to zero, and then it won't save any.
Yeah, you can also clear history.
Well, sometimes the clear history doesn't work inside Explorer, and you have to manually delete the files.
It's not 100%, so you have to do it manually.
It's Windows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try those things.
I sure will.
And let us know.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you so much, Jim. Our next caller is Alan from Penfield. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
Hi. I got a two-part question for you. I have an old 486 computer, and I'd like to donate it to somebody to recycle it.
Yeah.
Who does that?
If you go to our webpage, soundbites.org, down on the right-hand side, we have a whole list of people. If you click on where to donate, and we've got a complete list of places that will accept donation.
Although not many companies will accept machines that old. They aren't quite useful for modern internet browsing.
Right.
But I know the Baden Street Settlement takes even the older machines for the kids just to play little.
Pound on, do word
process. Because it does work. I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, give the folks at Baden Street a call. I'm sure they'll be happy to get it.
Like, are they even on our list? I don't remember anymore.
I don't remember either
anymore. Yeah, there's a number of folks that will still take them. They'll just, to be able to have it do word processing.
Yep.
I called a couple of places. Maybe I won't mention any names on the radio.
That
but they want you to pay them to take it.
Yeah. Well, they are reclamation centers, and it costs money to recycle those computers. They have to tear them all apart, separate the plastics and the metals. There are several pounds of toxic metals inside an average computer that all have to go to a toxic waste reclamation center. So if you're just going to recycle it to disregard it, to throw it away, then there's a lot of money involved. But if you want to donate it to an organization that will clean it up and let someone use it, then they usually give you a tax deduction.
Yeah, just check our list.
Okay, the second question is, I want to replace this, of course. So I want to get a laptop, but, I'm only using it for word processing and going on the Internet. I'm not downloading, I'm not playing video games or anything like that. So what do I need?
2.6 or a 2.8 should do you.
It's about as slow as you can buy these days.
And if you're going to get a laptop, make sure it has at least 512K of memory.
Megs.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
512K of
megs.
Meg. Why are
megs.
You always do that.
I know it. I'm stuck on that.
You're stuck on that, but it's 512 meg.
512 meg of memory, 80 gig hard drive.
You can save a little money by going with less RAM and a smaller hard drive, but then upgrade the RAM yourself. XP likes...
Depends on where he gets it, though. Sometimes getting matching memory. I mean, memory is still relatively cheap. Going from, 256 up to 512 is maybe $50-$60, and it's a well-invested thing to do with Windows XP.
We're seeing...
Well, how much should I pay for something like that?
You're going to... For a decent laptop, maybe $1,200-$1,300. I'm ballparking. You guys shop around.
Yeah, it depends on the size of the screen and a whole bunch.
There's
are you getting a DVD player in it? I mean, there's a whole bunch of...
I mean, some of them now also have built-in, not only the external networking, but internal wireless. There's the new Centron chip.
Centrino.
That's what I'm saying. I don't really think I'm going to need all of that. I don't know what...
Well, then you're going to do your shopping.
You got to do some shopping around.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Do your homework.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat deal. Laptops are good. Depends on where you're going to use them, you know. And
I don't recommend them for students at colleges.
No. Or at least get a security lock that you can lock it down with.
Yeah.
Well, and too many kids just won't bother with that. And, I hear it every day. Somebody stole my laptop. Somebody stole my laptop. Well, where was it? Well, I was in my dorm room. Well, did you leave the door open? Oh, yeah, but I was only gone for a minute. Okay, that's 50 seconds more than the thief needed, you know?
Yeah, especially if they take the class. They got the locking system there in their dorm room, but they just, like you said, got into their dorm room, set it down for a minute, had to maybe go down or use the bathroom or whatever.
Right, by the time they come back,
boom, it's gone.
Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Hannah, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, this is Pat Summitt, head coach of the Tennessee Lady Volunteers. A special thanks to all the sponsors who've made the 26th annual WHAM Sportswomen of the Year Awards Luncheon possible.
Randall Farnsworth Automotive Group, Mercer Human Resource Consulting, John Betlem Heating and Cooling, Mark Congdon, senior partner of the Horizon Group. Pat Summitt's appearance courtesy of Frontier, a citizens communications company.
I'll see you on April 26th.
Sometimes people ask Patrick about the names Lynn and Tracy at the end of their email. Is there really a Lynn or Tracy? Could two people really send out over 10,000 emails a month telling our customers when it's time for an oil change, maintenance, or when their New York State inspection is due? Come on. Our Patrick customers want to know, are you guys for real?
For your investment dollar, would you like to know which no-load mutual funds best suit your needs? If your answer to either of these questions is yes, then you should subscribe to Bob Brinker's Market Timer. Market Timer provides you with up-to-date analysis of the stock market and interest rates, and provides specific no-load mutual fund advice. As a Market Timer subscriber, you'll receive detailed information on over 20 outstanding no-load funds, along with 3 model portfolios. Market Timer provides you with a disciplined strategy to help you achieve your investment objectives. Annual subscribers receive 12 monthly editions, which include regular updates on the Market Timer stock market timing model. And Market Timer will help you to understand what's really happening in today's ever-changing investment markets. For subscriber information, call 800-700-1030. That's 800-700-1030. 800-700-1030.
Soundbites, powered by Patrick Jeep.
Watch your crown. Hi, welcome to the One Stop Career Center. How can we help you today, Miss Liberty?
Oh, it's nice to get off my feet. I heard about your resume writing workshop.
Miss Liberty, you're not thinking about changing careers.
Perhaps. Maybe something easy on the feet. I'm a people person, a greeter of sorts. Can you help?
Oh, sure. At every One Stop, you'll get job training information, browse through thousands of job listings, even talk to one of our career counselors. And it's all free.
C'est magnifique! And it's all free? I had no idea I could do so much at a one-stop. Well, I'd better get back. The island looks so empty without me.
Here in New York, we've created hundreds of thousands of jobs. And your one-stop career center is where businesses find good people and good people find great jobs. Workforce New York. Put us to work for you. Call 1-800-HIRE-992. 1-800-HIRE-992. Sponsored by the New York State Department of Labor and the State Workforce Investment Board.
Closing in on 10 consecutive years of broadcasting, it's the Brenna and Brenna Law Forum this Sunday morning at 8 on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 1220 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are back with a little bit more of Soundbites, and the first person we're going to talk to is Chip from Shalott. Welcome, Chip. What's your question?
Thank you. You know how
hard it is to look at that and not say Chip from Charlotte or Ship from Shalott? It's just me. Go ahead, Chip. What's your question?
It's not from the area, so it was hard for me to understand some of these words also.
Right.
My computer started getting slower and slower and slower and slower, and things were happening that weren't supposed to happen, like there was an ad zapper thing that was on my Roadrunner that wasn't working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my IT guy, and he told me to go up and get a spy box because I've never had one on there.
Right.
Did it clean it up quickly? The computer runs quickly now. The only problem I have with it, the directions on SpyBot and the way I got it is sort of like, I don't know how you get that. You know, you go down to one of the companies that gives it away free.
Yeah.
And
or download it directly from the internet.
From our website.
I downloaded it.
It's on our website, too, yeah.
So anyway, I did download it. I ran it. It cleaned everything up tremendously. And, you know, and I'm not a computer person, so I was, like, ecstatic. Then the next day, I ran it again, and it found more stuff.
Yep. Did you do the updates?
Yes, I did an update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it will continue to find stuff, because every time you go to the Internet, you're downloading more spyware.
Mm-hmm.
There are commercial versions on a cell phone. There are commercial versions of both Adaware and SpyBot that will install a preventative measure like your antivirus has.
Right,
that
but you pay for those.
You pay for those.
Well, I thought that Immunize would do the same sort of thing. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, not in the free version.
Well, it immunizes you against the old ones coming back,
right.
But not the new ones
right.
coming in.
Have you seen our Security Tango?
No, I haven't.
You really need to check that out. It's at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind everyone. Soundbites.org/tango.php. And that is where you will find a list of things you should do, starting with a program called Stinger, which will check to see if there are any programs on your system, any viruses that will disable your antivirus software.
Okay.
And updating your antivirus software, and if you don't have one, there's a link to a free one called AVG. And then running Stinger, Adaware and SpyBot, and then if you want to, including a firewall on your system. And those things are required to protect your machine.
I never knew that before because I never ran something like Roadrunner before. And now I have the Zone Alert.
Zone Alarm, excellent product. Yep. That's one of the ones we recommend in the Tango.
The same issues happen with dial-up service. It's just not as fast and not as big a target for the viruses and the spyware because they want you that are
connection.
On all the time. Yeah.
But you can still get them. So folks out there, whether you're on dial-up or some always-on Internet connection, you really need to be running Dancing the Tango regularly.
Quick question.
Sure.
I really do appreciate what SpyBot does, and it does have a place for donations.
Yeah.
Do people, is there a sort of fixed thing that people usually send in,
Yeah, I don't think that there's any specific fixed amount that people generally send in. It's what they think they can afford, you know. Would you pay $5 a year for this, $10 a year? You know, do you think it's worth $25 a one-time donation? That's entirely up to you and your conscience and your wallet.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chip. Our next caller, George from Webster. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question.
Okay.
I'm running XP Home Edition, and I will go on and I will go online and use the computer and maybe for an hour or so, and it will run fine. I'll X out the Internet, and then I leave the computer, say, for maybe 20 minutes. I come back. The icons have all disappeared. There's only the picture on the desktop. The cursor will move around. Sometimes if I hit Control-Alt-Delete, they'll come back. Sometimes they won't. And then the only way I can restore it is to push the button.
George, what you might want, you're running XP?
Yes.
If you go into the control panel.
Yes.
And under energy saving?
Power options.
Power options.
Power options?
Power options.
Uh-huh.
Change all those settings to never. 10-to-1 odds, it's spinning down your hard drive and putting it to sleep, and it doesn't like that. So change them all to never and see if that doesn't correct your problem.
Okay.
So it's going to sleep and can't wake up.
Yeah.
Well, never Dave?
Yeah.
I hear you. I think you moved down to Empire Boulevard.
Yeah, I'm just on the other way of the...
I'll try that. go into power options,
yep.
change all those settings to never. What are they, just little checks you take out?
Yeah, you'll see a thing that you can change them from, like, 1 hour, 2 hour. The bottom one is never.
Never.
Yep.
Then reboot or?
Yeah, yep. Well, it doesn't hurt to reboot.
Yep.
Doesn't hurt to reboot. Okay, and if I still, maybe I'll come down and see you. And thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
Up the road a little bit.
Yep. He's down by across from St. Ambrose.
Yep.
Near the Donut Delight.
Do you know what that area is when you go down into the valley?
We call it a hill.
No, through the area, down by the pond, Arundiquet Bay.
Yeah.
It's called the Dugway.
The Dugway.
Did you know it?
And I never met Doug. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called
in. You moved
and
didn't tell me.
I apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. We will be back here next Saturday, I believe at the regular time. If not, we'll put a notice on the website and in the forums, but I believe it's at the regular time still. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray for their phenomenally capable answers to the questions, and Hannah, who was just absolutely magnificent. Keeping
she's still
us all
a cuter
under control.
On the camera than Rob.
Even off the camera than Rob. There's no question. We will have Rob Litton back next week. But until then, for everybody at 1180 WHAM, I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites. Thanks for listening.
Rochester's most listened to radio station, period. 50,000 watt news radio 1180 WHAM, Rochester.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The FBI has heard some buzz about bombs on buses or trains in America. Not actual bombs yet, but nonspecific plans to plant them. At Greyhound, spokeswoman Kim Plaskett.
We did send out a reminder to our employees to be vigilant at all times, report any suspicious people, activities, or unattended bags or packages in the terminal.
Meanwhile in Boston, security is ratcheting up on the trains. WBZ reporter Kim Tunnicliffe.
Governor Mitt Romney says it's impossible to ignore the FBI's new warning, given last month's bombing of a commuter train in Madrid.
I think we've recognized that our infrastructure, particularly our transit system, is a potential target of terrorism as a result of seeing what happened there. And this is an ongoing confirmation of that fact.
Romney is calling for more robust security on the state's buses and trains. He's considering baggage screening and limiting access to parking facilities. Kim Tunnicliffe, CBS News, Boston.
A Spanish official says a bomb found Friday under a high-speed rail line was the same kind of bomb used in Madrid. Six bullet trains were halted until complete inspections could be done. The September 11th commission says it has everything it needs from the White House. Commission spokesman Al Felsenberg.
We have asked for and we have received the ability to ascertain for ourselves that we are now have access to everything we need to do our work.
At issue has been documentation from the Clinton era, slow to be delivered by the White House. Analysts say the latest jobs report, 308,000 jobs in the month of March.
They're as quick as I can.
Latest jobs report, President Bush says the statistics are persuasive.
America has the fastest growing economy in the industrialized world. Inflation is low, and interest rates and mortgage rates are near historic lows.
In the last quarter reported, the economy was growing at 4.1%, which economists also say is a strong number. Democrats' response, John Kerry.
We can't retreat from the global economy or bring back every lost industry or protect every current job, but we can do better.
There's an academic course now in medical school on fighting obesity. CBS News reporter Jim Krasula.
It's one of the first such programs in the country. The Duke University Medical Center is setting up a course to focus on the causes of obesity and ways to treat it. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says obesity is quickly gaining on smoking as the leading cause of death in the U.S.
In Iraq, gunmen killed four people in two separate attacks on police south of Baghdad, including another local police chief. Meanwhile, in Basra, demonstrators turned violent again in a protest over the lack of jobs there. No one was killed, but there was some property damage and a few injuries as Iraqi police struggled to control the crowd. Joining hundreds of computers together with special software to create one flash mob supercomputer. Will it work? Researchers at the University of San Francisco are inviting volunteers to bring the laptops today and find out. This is CBS News.
How's your credit?
Staying on top of your credit can help save you a lot of money. That's why millions of Americans stay on top of their credit by logging on to freecreditreport.com.
Staying on top of my credit can help me save a lot of money.
Just a few clicks, and there it is.
Staying on top of my credit helped me get the lowest interest rate on my car loan.
You can instantly see your credit report online, free.
Stay on top of your credit. Log on now to freecreditreport.com.
A woman charged her taxes in April, but didn't pay the bill until May. She used her credit card, buying herself some extra time to pay. You can do that now. All it took was a convenience fee and a toll-free call. It's fast, secure, and authorized by the IRS. And it's as easy as calling Official Payments Corporation at 1-800-2-PAY-TAX or visiting us online at officialpayments.com. Official Payments accepts Visa, American Express, and Discover payment cards.
Good afternoon. I'm Brendan O'Riordan with a Wham! News update. The Wayne County Sheriff's Department was involved in a huge drunk bust yesterday. Deputies say a total of 24 people were arrested. Police started their investigation in September of last year. It was 1 month ago that...